Welcome to Shir and Sfarno Parshas Emor. We know that Parshas Emor starts off talking about the halachas that pertain to Kohanim, and specifically it begins with the halacha l'nefesh lo yitamo be'amov, that the Kohen, generally speaking, is not supposed to come into the presence of a dead body. And the Pasuk says the only exceptions are for close relatives, ki'im l'sheiro. He's only allowed to come into contact with the dead bodies of his relatives, le'imo le'aviv, his mother and father, le'vno le'vito, his son, his daughter, le'achiv, his brother, v'lachos abzula krova ilav, asher lo'haisa le'ish la yitama, and he can come into contact as well with the dead body of his unmarried sister. There we have a pasuk, which is somewhat difficult to translate. Lo yitama ba'al be'amav leheichalo. This Kohen, who is a ba'al be'amav, should not make himself impure leheichalo, in a way that desecrates himself. What exactly is added by that? So Rashi quotes that lo yitama le'ishto psula shehu mechulal ba ba'odo imo. The Torah over here is adding an additional and specific halacha with regard to the ability of a Kohen to come into contact with a dead body. Even though the Torah does not mention it explicitly, the halacha is that a Kohen is allowed to be at the funeral, to be in the presence of the dead body of his wife, if his wife passes away. Again, it's not 100% explicit in the pasuk. Rashi quotes that when the pasuk says ki im l'sheiro, in pasuk beis, that the Kohen is only allowed to come into contact with sheiro, with his relative. The pasuk there is coming to include his wife specifically, and then this pasuk lo yitamo ba'al be'amov leheichalo comes to tell us a limitation on that halacha. True, the Kohen is allowed to come into contact with the dead body of his wife, but only if the wife in question was one to whom he was allowed to be married according to the laws of Kahuna. And a few psukim, the Torah is going to tell us that the Kohen is restricted in terms of whom he's allowed to marry. And if he was married to a woman whom he wasn't allowed to be married to in the first place, when she passes away, he's not allowed to be in the presence of the body. And that's what the pasuk means. Lo yitama ba'al be'amav. The word ba'al over here means the husband. The husband is not allowed to be metame himself. Leheichalo, he's not allowed to render himself impure by contact with heichalo, the woman who is mechalil him, who, you know, her very being married to him is compromising the kedusha of the kahuna itself. That's how Rashi understands, that's how we understand la halacha, this particular pasuk. The Sfarno has a different take on the pasuk, and we'll see that the Sfarno here is really following in the footsteps of the Ramban, and perhaps ultimately in the footsteps of the Targum Unculus as well. So the Sfarno says that what's added by this pasuk, lo yitamo ba'al be'amav leheichalo, is not an additional halacha, the way Rashi learns the pasuk, but an explanation for the halachas which we have laid out earlier. The Torah has just spent the past couple of psukim explaining that the Kohen is not allowed to come into contact with a dead body, generally speaking. So here the Torah tells us, v'hatam shelo yitama ha-Kohen ki'im l'krovav. The reason for this prohibition, why can't the Kohen come into contact with a dead body other than that of his close relatives, is ki omnam hakohen hu ba'al be'amov. The Kohen is a ba'al be'amov. He's an important person in the life of the nation of Klal Yisrael. So in other words, lo yitamo ba'al be'amov, the word ba'al over here does not mean husband, the way Rashi renders the word, but ba'al rather in this context means an important personality. The Kohen is a ba'al be'amov. He's an important personality. In what sense is he an important personality? Lahavin u'lahoros. He's a person who is charged with understanding Torah and teaching Torah. And as the Pasuk says in Malachi famously, Kisivse Kohen Yishmeru Das, the lips of the Kohen will guard wisdom, Visara Yavakshu Mipiu, and the people will go to him to seek out the words of Torah. So since the Kohen is charged with teaching Torah to the people, Viroi Leish Kazel Linhog Nesius, such a person as the Kohen has to conduct himself in a manner that's befitting a leader of the Jewish people. In order that people should listen to him. In other words, if he's going to walk around like a slouch, so people are not going to listen to the Torah that he has to share with people. So he has to, you know, as Chazal say in a different context, he has to hold himself with a certain amount of stoltz, with a certain amount of leadership. And therefore, the Ein Roy Shiyachalil Hachonoso El Mikdosh V'Kodshof. Therefore, since he has to keep his leadership position intact, he should refrain as much as possible from preventing himself from going into the Beis HaMikdosh and from dealing with the Kodshim, dealing with the Karbonos. And that's true even if Kidei L'Chabed HaMesim HaBilti Krovim. Even if, by doing so, he loses out on the opportunity to show kavod to those who have passed away who are not his direct relatives. Putting all this together, the Sfarno seems to be saying the following thing. You know, why is it that a Kohen can't go to a funeral, generally speaking? Why is it that the Kohen can't be in the presence of a dead body and make himself tamei? So the Sfarno basically explains that if the Kohen were to make himself tamei, so that would prevent him from going into the Beis HaMikdash. It would prevent him from dealing with the Karbonos. And as a result, he would lose a certain amount of stature in the eyes of the people. And as a result, his ability to teach Torah to the people would be compromised. People respect someone who's teaching them Torah when they see the person as being a little bit on a pedestal. Perhaps in this particular case, a literal pedestal, but okay. But, you know, they have to see the person as being on a little bit of a pedestal. And the Kohen will lose that ability to be on the pedestal if he can't be involved in the Beis HaMikdash and bringing Karbonos. Which is interesting. In other words, basically, I think what the Sfarno is saying is that the Kohen's role as serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash is a means to an end. The Kohen, by serving in the Beis HaMikdash, derives a certain amount of prestige. I mean, after all, he's dressed in fancy clothing, you know, special clothing to go into the Beis HaMikdash. He has all kinds of special rules that pertain to him when he's in the Beis HaMikdash. Somebody sees a Kohen working and doing the avod in the Beis HaMikdash, he's impressed by the Kohen. So when I'm impressed by the Kohen who's working in the Beis HaMikdash, that makes me more likely to listen to him when he's giving a shiur. Aye, but if the Kohen makes it difficult for himself to go into the Beis HaMikdash, in other words, he finds himself in the presence of a dead body, even for the best of reasons. He wanted to go to the funeral. He wanted to give kavod to the person who passed away. Okay, that's very admirable. But Lemaisa, the Kohen who did so, compromised his ability to be in the Beis HaMikdash, compromised his ability to bring karbonos, and that fact then compromises his effectiveness as a teacher of Torah. Because if people don't see him in the Beis HaMikdash, they're less likely to pay attention to him when he's giving a shiur. Now, obviously, the follow-up question to that would be, okay, so I'm a Kohen in 2021. Unfortunately, I don't have the opportunity to go into the Beis HaMikdash. I may not have even been teaching Torah in any kind of way, so why are you telling me that I can't go to a funeral? I'm not putting the dots, you know, I'm not connecting the dots over here. So again, so like many, so many things in halacha, I think the Sfarno would tell us that the reason that the Torah had in mind behind these halachas may be less applicable nowadays, but our yearning and our hope is for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash, and at that point, the original reason that the Torah has in mind as to why a Kohen should not be metame himself by going to funerals and finding himself in the presence of a dead body will become applicable again. Okay. So we're also left with a very interesting impression over here. you know, we've talked about the fact in the past that the Kohen really has two roles. You know, the main role of the Kohen is really to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael, and his role as someone who brings the Karbanos and serves in the Beis HaMikdosh, in a sense, is secondary to that. If you look at the allotment of time that the Kohanim gave to each of those aspects of their job, of their mission, they devoted far more time to learning and teaching Torah than they did to serving in the Beis HaMikdosh. I mean, the average Kohen was in the Beis HaMikdosh 2 weeks out of the year. You know, it was a very small amount of time, relatively speaking, that a Kohen found himself in the Beis HaMikdosh. But here the Sfarno is adding another element to that realization, that the main thing for the Kohen is really learning and teaching Torah, and that the Avod in the Beis HaMikdosh really is really secondary. Not only is the Avod in the Beis HaMikdosh secondary, but a large part of the Avod in the Beis HaMikdosh is meant to get the people to look up to the Kohen and to listen to his Torah teaching more readily. Right? You know, they see the Kohen in all of his prestige serving in the Beis HaMikdosh. Ah, so that's a guy I want to hear a shiur from. You know, he's involved in bringing karbanos. You know, he must be an important person, and therefore I must be inclined to want to listen to him. In broader terms, the idea of the Sfarno over here, that the Kohen has to sacrifice the mitzvah of showing honor to those who have passed away because he has a higher calling. In other words, his calling of teaching Torah to Klal Yisrael means that he has to not be as involved in other mitzvos as the average Jew might be, is teaching us something about the primacy of learning and teaching Torah in general. Sometimes a person who's learning and teaching Torah, yeah, won't be able to be involved in all of the acts of chesed, gemilas chasadim, and tzedakah, and the like, that others might be involved in, but in at least in this case, the Sfarno is telling us, but it's worth it. It's, you know, the primacy of learning Torah is so important that even though the Kohen ends up kind of putting some of his chesed on the back burner, he can't do all of the chasadim that a typical Jew would be able to carry out, it's worth it so that he should be able to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. So how does this go back into the Pasuk? So, lo yitama ba'al be'amov leheichalo. The one who is the Ba'al Be'amov, the Kohen, who is a distinguished personality, a distinguished personage in his nation, Lo Yitamo should not come into contact with a dead body. Why? Leheichalo, because it will defile him, meaning it will defile and compromise his ability to carry out his role as a Kohen, which is to teach Torah to Klal Yisrael. This interpretation of the Sfarno is largely based on the Ramban. Again, like we've seen in other cases, the Sfarno bases himself on other sources, even though he doesn't always quote them. He wanted to make an easily readable commentary, and if you keep quoting this one and that one and the other one, you know, it becomes a little bit difficult to read such a commentary. So this is largely based on the Ramban. And the Ramban himself points out that this is really, perhaps, what's meant by the Targum Unculus. If you look in the Targum Unculus, the Targum Unculus translates this pasuk, Lo yitama ba'al be'amav, as Lo yistoav rabba be'amei. Meaning, the word ba'al, which Rashi translates as husband, the Targum Unculus translates as rabba, which means the great one, the exalted one. So Lo yistoav rabba be'amei, the great one, the elevated one, the Kohen who is exalted and revered by the people, Lo Yistoav, should not come into contact with Tumah, with impurity. Again, the same kind of idea that the Ramban and the Sfarno are both bringing out over here. After teaching us these halachas, that the Kohen is only allowed to come into contact with a very small circle of relatives after they pass away, generally speaking, is not allowed to come into contact with a dead body, all of a sudden, the pasuk tells us in Hey, Lo yikruchu karcha b'rosham, the Kohanim should not pull out a bald spot on their heads. Ufa'as zikonam lo yigalechu, they should not shave their beards. Uvivisaram lo yisratu sarotas, and they should not make a scratch in their flesh. These were all practices that were observed as practices of mourning in the time of the Torah. And indeed, we find a parallel pasuk in Parshas Re'eh talking about how the average Jew is prohibited from ripping out hair or gashing his skin as a response to avelus, as a response to mourning. And the Gemara Masechta Makos juxtaposes the pasuk here with the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh to tell us and to make clear to us that this halacha is not restricted to Kohanim, right? Even a non-Kohen, even a Yisrael, a Levi, is prohibited from gashing his skin as an expression of mourning, is prohibited from pulling out his hair as an expression of mourning. And being that that's the case, one has to wonder, so then why would the Torah single out in this pasuk the Kohanim as being the ones who are not allowed to engage in these kinds of practices? It's not really unique to the Kohanim. It's true of every Jew. So, you know, why present it in such a way that it sounds like the Kohanim and the Kohanim alone have these restrictions? So, the Sfarno says as follows, on Pasuk K. Afal pi shehitarti lahem hatuma al meisehem l'chvodom. Even though, says the Torah, the Kohanim are allowed to come into contact with their dead relatives who have passed away. They can't generally come into contact with the dead, but they can come into contact with that select group of relatives. Nonetheless, lo hitarti shiafligu ba'avelus laharbos kivod meisem ayde karcha usrita. Still, I did not allow the Kohanim extra leeway beyond what a regular Jew is allowed to do. You know, they can come into contact with the seven relatives whom they're allowed to come into contact with when they pass away, but they can't engage in excessive mourning practices like ripping their skin and pulling their hair out. In other words, you would have thought that although the Kohen is restricted in general in terms of whom he can come into contact with after they pass away, perhaps the Torah would have given greater leeway with those few individuals where he is able to come into contact with. You know, it's sort of like, I guess, like pent-up emotion. You know, the Kohen is never allowed to express formal mourning when someone passes away, with the few exceptions of, you know, these very close relatives that he's allowed to go to the funeral and come into contact with the dead body. So perhaps the Torah would have somehow, you know, allowed some compensation. Okay, you can only really go to the funeral, the Kohen can only go to the funeral of his mother, his father, etc. But when you go, maybe, you know, you'd be allowed to engage in a kind of avelus, in a kind of mourning that would be deemed excessive under normal circumstances. Maybe the Kohen specifically would be allowed to rip out his hair, gash his flesh, you know, to really show that he's really, really upset. I mean, how often does he get the chance to express himself and, you know, to let out these emotions of avelus, of mourning? So that's the Torah has to come and say that even the Kohen, not only the Kohen, but even the Kohen is bound by these restrictions as well. One more pasuk that deals with these Kohanim. The pasuk says in Vav, Kedoshim yihiyu leilokehem, the Kohanim will be holy to their God, v'lo yichalulu shem elokehem, and they will not defile, they will not desecrate the name of their God. The whole phrase, the whole pasuk really seems extraneous. Kedoshim yihiyu leilokehem, v'lo yichalulu shem elokehem. They should be holy, they should not desecrate the name of God. In other words, keep all of these halachos which were outlined in the previous psukim. Okay. I don't really need an extra pasuk to tell me that the Kohanim have to keep all of the things that were outlined in the previous pasukim. So Rashi over here on the first pasuk, Kedoshim Yihiyu, quotes from the Taras Kohanim. The Taras Kohanim says, Kedoshim Yihiyu, that the Kohanim should be holy. Al korchom yakdishum bezdin bekach. The Kohanim will be holy, says the Taras Kohanim, whether they like it or not. Meaning, let's say in the time where there was a Bezdin that could really force, you know, the Kohanim to abide by Jewish law. And nowadays, you can't force anyone to do anything, pretty much. But, you know, let's say there was a time
where the Kohanim could be coerced into following halach, and the Kohen says, no, my neighbor passed away, I want to go to the funeral, you know, who's going to stop me? So, you know, in the time when the Beis Din actually had the power to do so, the Beis Din would say, we're going to stop you. Kedoshim yiyu le'elokeihem. You must be holy to your God, whether you like it or not. You know, the Beis Din will prevent the Kohanim from acting in a way that compromises their Kedusha. Okay, so that's Kedoshim yiyu. But what's added by the phrase, v'lo yichalalu shem elokeihem? That they can't desecrate the name of their God. So here the Sfarno adds something which is somewhat similar to Rashi, but also has some very practical implications, even nowadays, where there isn't a Beis Din that really has the power to force the Kohanim to follow these halachas. The Sfarno on Vav writes as follows, V'lo yichalalu shem elokeihem, v'afal pi shekol eile lichvodo. Even though all of these halachas that pertain to the Kohen on some level are for the honor of the Kohen himself. In other words, as the Sfarno said before, lo yitamo ba'al be'amov, the reason that the Kohen can't come into contact with the dead body is because the Torah wants to build up his prestige. He's ba'al be'amov. He's rabba be'amei, as the Unkulus says. He's a distinguished person in his nation. So on a certain level, this is all for his kavod. So the Kohen might say, you know, if it's all for my kavod, maybe I can be mochel on my kavod. Maybe I can waive the honor which is due me. Right? It's all about me. So I'll say, oh, look, I'm not interested. No, says the pasuk, v'lo yichalalu shem elokeihem, ein lo rishus limchol al kivodo. The Kohen doesn't have the ability, even if he wants to be mochel on his kavod, to pass up the kavod which is due him. Right, that's what it means. V'lo yichalalu shem elokeihem. They should not desecrate the name of their God. Meaning, they should not. They don't have the right to waive the honor which is due to a kohen. Ki omnom hakavono b'chvod hakohanim hu l'chvod hakel yisparach. Because you have to understand, the kavod which is due to the kohanim, the honor due to the kohanim, is not really about them. It's not about them as individuals. It's ultimately a way of showing honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the Kohanim waive their honor, it's not just about them, they're ultimately, on some level, desecrating the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way the Pasuk continues according to the Sfarno. V'lo yichalalu shem elokeihem, the Kohanim should not desecrate the name of God, i.e., by waiving their honor, by being mochel on their kavod. Because the reason the Kohanim are deserving of this kavod is because they are offering up the food of their God, in other words, so to speak, they're offering up the karbonos, v'hayu kodesh, and therefore they must be holy. And again, along the lines that Rashi says from the Taras Kohanim at the beginning of the Pasuk, they must be holy whether they want it or not. So we know halacha lemaisa, there's a whole discussion as to when and if, and you know, if there are circumstances under which a kohen can be mochel on his kavod. The Mordechai, for instance, brings that a kohen has the right to be mochel on his kavod if he feels that he's serving a Talmud Chacham. The Mordechai brings an example of Rabbeinu Tam, who had a student who was a Kohen, and this student who was a Kohen would attend to all of the needs of Rabbeinu Tam. Ah, you're a Kohen, I'm supposed to be serving you. You're not supposed to be serving me. The Kohen said, no, for a Talmud Chacham, I want to be mochel on my kavod. Okay, so that's one level of being mochel on the kavod that's due to the Kohen. What about other things? You know, we're sitting around. It's time to bench. The halacha is l'chadchila, you're supposed to be a mechabed, a kohen, with leading the benching. The kohen says, I'm the only kohen in this town. Every time we get together, I've been benching for the last, 45 years. Maybe it's time to give somebody else an opportunity. Does he have the right to do that? Can he be mochel on his kavod if he so chooses? So the halacha, this is a big discussion. If, when, are there circumstances in which he can? There's the famous situation. It's a Monday morning, there are two people have yard site, is it appropriate to ask the Kohen to walk out of the room? in order to enable both people who are Yisraelim to get aliyahs if they have yard side. Again, machlokes haposkim, you know, this famous joke about the guy who always wanted the Kohen aliyah. You know, so, but they won't give it to him in his town because he's not a Kohen. So he says, you know what, I'll travel to another town, I'll get the Kohen aliyah. Travels to another town, nobody ever met him before. He walks into Shul the first day, and it's the Kriya Satara day. So goes up, you know, the Gabbai comes over to him and he says, are you a Kohen? The guy says, sure, yeah, Avada, I'm a Kohen. He says, that's great, would you mind stepping out? We have 2 yard sides from today. So, you know, something you have to be careful what you wish for. So that's a whole discussion, lahalocha, whether the Kohen has the right to be mochel. Again, I don't know that we paskin from a svarno necessarily, but the implication of the svarno is that, you know, if it exists at all, the ability of the Kohen to be mochel on his kavod is very, very narrow, if it exists at all. It sounds like the pasuk itself is saying that the Kohen doesn't have that right to be mochel on his kavod. Again, in fairness, it could be that the svarno is only talking in the context of being mochel on things like the isurim of not going to funerals and the like. Would he say that you can't be mochel on the kibudim? That's a whole different story entirely. But perhaps that's implicit in these words of the Sfarna. Okay, we'll pick up over here. Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha, Omer Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'zakos es Yisrael, L'fikach Hirbo Lehem Torah U'Mitzvos.